The text for our sermon this morning is the epistle reading from Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, and the Greek has a little different push, a little different emphasis when you hear it in the Greek. St. Paul says, finally, be strengthened in the Lord in the strength of His might. Today we hear that we are to put our trust, our faith in Christ, and that He fights for us. He fights on our behalf. He gives us the weapons, and He fights for you. As we just sang in our last stanza, for though I know my heart's condition, I also know my Savior's voice. Now we see what Jesus says in the gospel reading, the source of evil, darkness, the source, it's inside of us, our sinful flesh. And so St. Paul points us to look outside of ourselves. When the battle gets fierce, when the day is long, when the nights are dark, be strengthened in the Lord. So God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This last week has been a week of sadness and loss of life in Afghanistan for our military and our nation. We pray for their families every Sunday, and hopefully every day, and especially this Sunday. We pray for their families, their friends, and their fellow soldiers. We pray for those who have vowed to fight on our behalf. Our government has spared no expense in equipping our soldiers to be the fiercest fighting force on the face of the planet and probably in the history of the world. However, it appears that our soldiers are no longer the only ones equipped with top-of-the-line military equipment. In leaving Afghanistan hastily, our military commanders thought it best to leave behind the best weapons money can buy. Not being a Monday morning quarterback, we are curious what the outcome will be. So now, the Taliban is one of the most well-equipped terrorist organizations in the world, rivaling the capabilities of actual legitimate nations. St. Paul today, he would also say that we as Christians, we've been left with some pretty impressive weapons as well. Weapons for fighting a foe who's been around a lot longer than Afghanistan. A foe who has demolished more kingdoms than any force in the history of mankind. No nation has stood against this terrorist. We do not wrestle, St. Paul says. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Our worldly leaders are powerless. Our weapons and the threat of the most substantial military has little effect on the advances of this evil foe. Evil, sin, darkness, and death. But my dear friends, there is a voice. There is a voice crying in the darkness. A voice that is not just one lone person, but a voice that's been echoing the same message since the dark spiritual powers began their relentless attacks on all that is righteous and good, a voice that brings victory, a voice that doesn't leave weapons for the enemy, but a voice of the Word of God that renders the attacks of this dark foe powerless. a voice that rings the Word of God, a voice that creates light out of darkness, a voice that gives life, a voice that separates light from darkness, a voice that becomes flesh and blood, the Word of God made flesh, Jesus Christ. His Word, His voice, St. Paul says, you've been given that Word. This Jesus Christ is no sloppy seconds. He's no weapon left to us in hasty retreat that was left behind. But Jesus Christ gives us the true spoils of a victorious battle won over death and the grave. His righteousness, His purity, His victory is ours. And the darkness shall not overcome. Today, in the last chapter of Ephesians, St. Paul brings his sermon to completion. He says, finally. He has spoken through the whole book of Ephesians about the joy and the glory that it is to be a Christian. But being a Christian, he says, also means you have an enemy. You have an enemy that will not let up. You have an enemy that is smarter than you. You have an enemy that is stronger than you. You have an enemy that is sweeter than you. Amen. An enemy that is nicer than you, wiser than you, more charismatic than you. An enemy that is more tactically informed in the battle and warfare of spirituality than you. An enemy that is more humble than you. An enemy that is more patient than you. An enemy that is more popular than you. An enemy that is more likable than you. The devil is greater than you and I in every imaginable way. That's partly why evil and darkness is so appealing to our fallen flesh. His weapons, they are impressive. But a weapon is only as good as a soldier who uses it. And he's been defeated by Christ. As one who echoes the voice of victory from the very beginning, St. Paul today, he doesn't mention any weapons for us to use against this evil force that we so hastily spend so much time concerned about. He doesn't mention any of the things that we pursue according to our flesh. Pride, strength, wisdom according to our flesh, the impressing people. What are the weapons that St. Paul says belong to us? These are all gifts of the Holy Spirit. They do not come from inside of you. For if you rely on what you can muster up in yourself, the devil will lift you up so high that when you fall, you lose your faith. Paul uses the picture of a soldier being armed. All the weapons he mentions are defensive weapons. And the Ephesians would have known the language of armor belonging to the soldier. In fact, remember, Paul was writing this whole sermon from prison. You see how he ends. He says, I am a prisoner in chains for this gospel. We too are familiar with the idea of a soldier being fully outfitted with top-of-the-line equipment. We can contemplate an entire army given every tactical and weapon advantage. However, the equipment is only as good as the soldier. If the soldier or his commanding officers retreat, the spoils go to the victor. Jesus won for you these weapons. He gives them to you. And maybe it's not so much that we retreat. when we are faced with the evil that even comes from our own heart? What if the soldiers just don't want to fight? What if they're too lazy to even care? We lament, perhaps, maybe we're even angry that our military may have made what looks like one of the greatest military blunders in the history of warfare. But don't we do the same thing? The battle that you are engaged in. St. Paul says, this present darkness. St. Paul doesn't say, oh, you're going to face a spiritual battle someday. No, he says, you're in the battle. Oh, pastor, I don't see demons. I don't feel evil. God's word says you're in the battle. And if you don't see it, the devil has already covered your eyes. Because you see, the devil does not always come as we might expect. The enemy never does. But he is a lion prowling around looking for who to devour. And perhaps your blood has boiled as you've heard the list of weapons we gave up to the enemy. In the same way, you've heard the list of weapons that you've been given by the blood of Christ Jesus, and how often we don't utilize these very weapons in spiritual battle. Paul says, as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, have you been ready to make peace? Peace with those who know just exactly how to irritate you. The gospel of peace in your heart, St. Paul says, are you not at peace? Do you have anxiety, depression, sadness, and darkness? Look what weapons St. Paul says you have against the lack of peace. The good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that the source of evil, even your own sin, cannot be used against you. That in God's eyes you shine brighter than any of the stars in heaven. You reflect His glory more so than Moses, who stood and saw Him face to face. That in the glory of Christ, the devil cannot even cast a shadow over you. Paul says, you have a weapon, the gospel of peace. But a weapon is only as good as the soldier. He continues, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The shield that St. Paul speaks of is a long shield. They had different shields then in the military. They had a small shield that you use offensively to block from and to use your sword than to stab. The shield that St. Paul describes is a big defensive shield, a shield about 4 feet tall and 2 feet wide, a shield made of heavy wood with metal at the top to stop a sword strike from coming at you from the top, metal at the bottom so that the shield could be placed in the ground and stood behind to stop advancing enemies. The shield was made with heavy wood, with leather on the outside of it, and all the time, the 24 hours, a couple days before they engage in battle, these shields would sit soaked in water. The wood fibers and the leather would absorb all that water because when the enemy comes, they know the shields are made of wood and they light their arrows on fire and shoot them. Paul is making a baptismal reference. He says, your weapon, your shield. All through his sermon to the church in Ephesus, he reminds them that by baptism they are in Him. They are in Christ. Verse 10 that it starts off with is passive. Be strengthened in the Lord in His strength. Paul has been repeating this phrase, in Him, in Christ, and now he reveals at the end what we are given when we are baptized into Christ. Yet how often we've not honored baptism as it should be. We've not given God thanks for it as we should. We don't even remember our baptismal verses. We've been given the name Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we lay that shield of baptism down, a shield that's been soaked in the promises of forgiveness, eternal life, light, and life. And we just lay it down. Perhaps we just don't even care. Paul says you have a weapon, a shield that can extinguish the arrows of the devil, but a weapon is only as good as the soldier who uses it. The helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying, the weapons we've been given, but we're more concerned with looking at our phones. We stare at screens and televisions when we should be taking in the Word of God. Paul says you have a weapon, but the shield is only as good as the one who uses it. And that's St. Paul's point throughout this whole reading. He isn't saying the effectiveness of the weapons nor your victory depends on you. The jury is not still out on whether or not these weapons work. These six weapons, these six articles of war, these weapons of armor, Paul doesn't just randomly pick some pieces of armor. Paul is preaching by the Holy Spirit, who was that battle cry, even from the foundation of the world, to show the faithfulness of God, that He is giving you weapons that He Himself used in the battle. Part of the Taliban's bragging rights going forward will be that they now have the power of the United States when they use these weapons we've left behind. Almost like a mythical power, like the sword Excalibur and King Arthur, or Aquaman and the trident, or a Texan when he uses his Bowie knife. There is almost a mythical and spiritual power the soldier draws on when he uses a weapon belonging to the one who's won great victory. Paul is touching on that same idea here with these weapons. In Genesis 15, when God established His covenant with Abraham, He said, "I am your shield." Deuteronomy 33, when Moses was dying and he blessed the people, he said, "The Lord is your shield. The Lord is your sword of triumph." Paul is telling us the weapon is only as good as the soldier who uses it, and the soldier is God Himself. He fights the valiant battle on your behalf. The work of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, that is your weapon. Not only that, but Paul takes it even further. When God is described as a warrior, a mighty man of valor who fights, God Himself uses these weapons in His day of darkness, in His day of battle. The word, St. Paul quotes Isaiah 59 almost word for word. He says, "The Lord by His own arm brought him salvation. His righteousness upheld him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate, the helmet of salvation on his head." St. Paul is drawing on the imagery that God gave to Isaiah of what he looks like when he fights. Isaiah 34 says, "God has a sword that descends from the heavens." Habakkuk 3, "The Lord has a spear that when He went out for the salvation of His people, for the salvation of His anointed, He crushed the head of the house of the wicked." The whole armor of God is Christ Jesus himself, his righteousness, his holiness, his strength, because if you look to yourself, even trying to use weapons against the devil, you will lose. But for us fights a valiant one, Christ Jesus. He won the battle when he died on the cross, and he gives his very life that you may be raised in glory. Not only in the resurrection, but even now. So it is the devil who has had to give up his weapons against you. It is the devil who's defeated, and he has given up his ability to accuse you of all your sins. He has given up his ability to accuse you before God. And we are given the spoils of victory. The spoils of the war are yours by faith. That Jesus was put upon you in baptism. St. Paul writes, as many of you who've been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So when St. Paul says, stand firm, it's not a tactical move for you, but it's the encouragement to use the weapons we've been given. Namely, the promise of God's protection, God's forgiveness for all the times we've neglected to not use the weapons. The weapons that we just let sit there. And we wonder why life is so dark. Christ Jesus says, I forgive you. I have not stopped fighting for you. I have fought to you until death and even through the grave. You have nothing to fear. But now stand firm in that forgiveness. The light that the darkness cannot overcome. For he has won the battle and he is bringing you with him. Paul also mentions this when he writes to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, he says, though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging a war against the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are the Word of God and His sacraments. The very body and blood of Jesus Christ, a spiritual weapon for defense against your sins. This is why the Christian church, even in great times of persecution, when the fighting is fierce, when we're threatened from all sides, when disease, viruses, loss of jobs, when the fighting is fierce, economies crumble, when Satan is doing his worst, he cannot take away the weapons that Christ has left for you. For we Christians who've been baptized, we are warriors. And you must always be armed. Consider today's text in chapter 6 of Ephesians, the Christian's concealed carry license. The weapons concealed in the word and sacrament of our Lord Jesus Christ. The weapon is only as good as a soldier. Christ Jesus is the weapon, and he is the one who uses these weapons on your behalf. You cannot lose when you have the promises of God. There is no retreat because Christ has already won the battle, the war, the victory is ours. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.